There are 2 days on the Jewish calendar that I think many of us, myself included, group together. One is Tisha B'Av, which we of course just experienced, and the other one is Yom Kippur, which 2 months away from experiencing. And I think we tend to group them together for two reasons. First is the fact that they're the only fasts that are 25 hours, from Shkia to Tzeis HaKochavim. And second is because they're the only fasts where we have the additional Inuyim that go with them. But I was thinking about how the end of those days are so drastically different. If you think about the end of Yom Kippur, wherever you've been, wherever you're davening, one of two things, if not both of these things, happen. Either where you are, there is singing, right? After the Hashem, Hu Elokim, after all that, after the Tkiah Gedolah, there's singing. And in some places, many places, there's even dancing. There's an excitement going on at the end of Yom Kippur. Even though our bodies are extremely weak, we still manage to get the energy inside of us to be able to sing and dance. And at the end of Tisha B'Av, what is it like? Aside from the fact, this is not about food, of course, about being excited to eat. Separate from the food, it's pretty depressing at the end of Tisha B'Av. Because all day, in the back of our minds, sometimes in the front of our minds, we are hoping that Mashiach was coming. I remember for myself, meaning I'm in New Jersey, and already after Shabbos ended, when it was Tisha B'Av, I was thinking, I assume that when Mashiach comes, it's going to be on Israel time. And I'm thinking, they're already 7 hours into the fast, and maybe Mashiach already came, or in the morning of Tisha B'Av, like, it's now the afternoon in Eretz Yisrael, is Mashiach coming? And then you get to the end of the day, you daven Mincha, you're davening Mariv a little bit before the fast is officially, or before the day officially ends, the last few minutes, and Mashiach didn't come. I'm thinking, this is not such a successful Tisha B'Av. And we've never had a successful Tisha B'Av. And it's so interesting to think about the experiences between the end of Yom Kippur and the end of Tisha B'Av. And yet, after Tisha B'Av, that first Shabbos is Shabbos Nachamu. We're comforted. There's a Nechama. But what is this Nechama? I mean, we lost. We didn't bring Mashiach. We get some sort of consolation prize because things still hadn't exactly worked out the way we hoped they would. So what is the Nechama? So there's an idea, a beautiful idea related to Tefillah that's in the Sefer of Ani Tefillah from the teachings of Moshe Wolfson. And this idea is going to help, I think, answer this question, to give us that Nechama. He asks an amazing question that I never thought of, related to the Gemara and Brachos about the establishment of davening. There's machlokas whether davening is based on the Avos, and Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and each one establishing Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv, or is davening based on Keneged Karbonos, based on the offerings that we had in the Beis HaMikdash. And within the opinion that it's Keneged Avos, so the Gemara says as follows. It says, Avram tikein tefillas Shacharis, Avram established Shacharis. Has to know this. It never is says in the whole Torah that Avram woke up and davened Shacharis. It doesn't say those words. What does it say? Vayishkem Avram baboker el hamakom asher amad sham. Avram woke up in the morning and went to that place that he stood. Asher amad sham, that he stood there. And the Gemara says, v'ein amida el tefila. When it says standing, amida, this is where, if you look in the Art Scroll Siddur, I believe, by Shmonezer, it says amida, the amida. Right? V'ein amida el tefila. Amida is referring to davening. So Rav Wolfson points out that this pasuk, which is the root for davening Shacharis, is actually talking about a failed tefillah. A tefillah that wasn't answered. Because the context is that Avram was davening to Hashem like crazy to save Sodom. And Avram was begging and negotiating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if there are 50 righteous people, there are 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. And that's Avram's tefillah. And Avram, at the end of that, is willing to say, Kadosh Baruch Hu is willing to agree that if there are 10 righteous people in those cities of Sodom and the four surrounding cities, then Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to spare them. And what did he find? There weren't even that. There weren't even 10 righteous people. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to destroy those cities. And says the Torah, the next morning, Avram woke up, and imagine, he was begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save these cities, and he looks out, and he sees total devastation. A city in ruins. All the people killed. All the people, all the buildings destroyed. And he says, Vaish came Avram Baboker, Avram woke up, El Hamakom Asher Amad Sham. And he went to that place where he stood, that place where he davened. And that right there, that's the source for Shacharis. Says Ezra Wolfson, why would we establish Shacharis for all generations from a tefillah that wasn't answered? I'm sure if we were to look throughout Tanakh, we could have had a better source for Shacharis. There are some amazing, amazing tefillahs that were answered throughout Tanakh. And this is certainly not one of them. So why establish this as a source for Shacharis? Answers Rav Wolfson, the beautiful answer. He says, it must be that the tefillah was answered. It's not where the answer was what Avram wanted. Of course, Sodom wasn't spared. Sodom wasn't saved. The people didn't survive. The buildings didn't survive. But you know what? That tefillah wasn't wasted. That tefillah wasn't in vain. And that tefillah was used to help Klal Yisrael for generations. And it's Davka, the source for Shacharis, to teach people that when you're davening for something, and that thing is not answered the way you think it's going to be, don't think then nothing happened. Don't think it was useless, because there was a reason for that, and that tefillah is going to help many, many, many Jews in dire situations. And this is exactly what the mothers of Nachshon Waxman and of Tully Frankel said after the tefillahs of millions of Jews worldwide seemed to have been in vain. And I believe this idea helps us understand our Nechama this week. Because it's true, this past Tisha B'Av, Mashiach didn't come. And the Galus seems to be just as it was prior to Tisha B'Av. It seems like nothing changed. But it is very possible, if not, I would say almost certain, that we're far closer to Mashiach because of the Tisha B'Av that we just went through. It wasn't just crying on the floor and sitting down and reading the kinos and feeling the Churban, feeling what we were missing. And it wasn't just, you know, if Mashiach doesn't come, it was a failure this year. But all of that is a buildup of Jewish history, buildup of the tears and of the tefillos to get towards Mashiach. When Mashiach comes, it's not going to be because at one instance we earn Mashiach for one specific act that Bnei Yisrael did, but it's the buildup of all of what Klal Yisrael did throughout Jewish history. And although we haven't brought him yet, and we don't currently have the Beis HaMikdash, we are far closer than before. And that itself is a tremendous nechama. And to know specifically that our mourning and our tefillos weren't in vain, and we should be zocha to see the culmination of the tears and tefillos throughout Jewish history with the coming of Mashiach, Amen.